Peter said, be sober, be vigilant. For your adversary, the devil, goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour. The only way Satan can devour you is if you walk in the carnality, if you walk under the influence and power of your carnal nature, the flesh. This is the only way he can devour you. In the Garden of Eden, remember the curse. The curse. God said, from dust thou art, unto dust thou shalt return, in speaking to Adam. And then he told the serpent, who was, you know, moved by Satan. Satan had entered into him. And he told the Satan, he told the serpent, Satan, from now on you'll eat the dust of the earth. Which means Satan is able to rule over us if we revert back to what we were before we came to Christ. We become food for the devil. We become like dust, if you will. Because I don't know, snakes might go around eating dust, but I think they eat like, you know, little rodents and things like that and swallow them up whole. I don't think they get their fill off of eating dust, but that's what God said. He would eat dust, and he told Adam, from dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. When we return back to the old carnal nature that Jesus delivered us from, we become food for the devil. But I gotta tell you, the devil is like a little chihuahua, and you are like a Rhodesian Ridgeback in the spirit. You are like a Rhodesian. You were made to go forth and hunt down the devil. What do I mean by that? As they went to trap the lion, listen, the word of God says the gates of hell will not prevail against the church, which means either the powers of darkness are going to come against us and they will not prevail against us, or we're going to charge the powers of darkness and they won't be able to resist our charge. Does that make sense to you? Because see, we're not here to be on the defense. We're on the offense. We didn't get a divine stay. We got a divine go. Anybody listening to me? When Jesus came out of the grave, what did he say? He said, all power and authority is given unto me. Sit down. Is that what he said? What did he say? You got a divine go from Jesus. To go means to go on the offense. Take the message. Take the word. Take the power. Take the anointing. Go and proclaim this gospel. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Jesus is still building and erecting the church of the living God. Every time a soul gets saved or born again, they add to the kingdom. Jesus starts to build within their lives. He's still building the kingdom. Some of us progress, but slower than others. But the main thing is that we're making some progress in our walk. We are growing. We are maturing. We are getting stronger and better and not weaker. Say, no more weak Christians. No more weak Christians. We don't have time to play church. Because we are the church. You know, when you play stuff, that means you're in fake make-believe kind of stuff. It ain't the real thing. Like little kids that grow up and then they want to play house. They still live in your house, but they play house. Sometimes they play the role of mommy and daddy and kids, and they have the easy bake ovens and stuff like that. But how many of you know that's not the real world? They're playing, they're pretending. It's building something within them, but it's not reality. Reality is what we do as adults. Reality is where life really is. It's like our children. They come up under our roofs, if you will, and we provide for them. They pay no rent. They buy no food. They buy no clothes. And they act like they want to rule the house, but it's not theirs. It's make-believe. Honey, you're make-believing. I shouldn't say honey. I've been hearing that too much. Get that out of my mouth, Lord. It's not for me. It's others say it. You know, sometimes when you're around people saying certain things, you pick it up even unconsciously and you catch yourself. And it's like, no, that's not for me. So it's little daughter or little son or, you know, teenager, if you will, or even adults that live under your roof. Just because they're adults and they're still in your house, they got to abide according to your rules. Tell them this is the real world. It's not make-believe. What do you mean by make-believe? See, you make believe like you own this house. You make believe like you rent this place. You make believe like that you bought the food. You make believe like you bought those clothes. But you didn't. I did. Well, you're supposed to. Yes, as a parent. And I'm supposed to parent you. Now, when you no longer want to abide according to my parenthood, it's time for you to move on. So you can get out into the real world. Where you have to pay your own way through life. Find yourself in a fix. I ain't got no money. Mama, daddy, can I borrow some money? No. Why not? Go down to the loan company, the place I would have to go to. Go to the bank. Get a job. See, this generation of people, they feel a sense of entitlement to things. And they don't want to accept responsibility for things. This will probably be the worst generation of those who don't want to get on their own two feet and make life for themselves. We are of that generation, when I speak of we, those born 59 and before. Maybe even, you know, more current, like maybe in 60s and things like that. But when we came up, bless God, we couldn't wait to move out. Can't wait. And see, some of these young ones, they can't wait till they can get out, but they ain't doing nothing to get out. We were making ways to get out. We got jobs. Hey. So we could take care of ourselves. I was talking to young Isaiah. I'm like, you're starting to see how it is out there, huh? Praise God. Starting to face the real world. Stay with me. I'm on the real world. So in the reality of things in the kingdom, you are like that Rhodesian Ridgeback. Did you find a Chihuahua? Now we're not hating. Click on that second one down there. Click on number two. No, but you got to go back. Down below. No, that one. Yeah, I am. That's your adversary. I had a pastor who used to say, you know, the devil tries to make you think that he's a roaring lion, but he's actually a little putty cat with a megaphone in his mouth. Roar! Let's see the Rhodesian Ridgeback. Yeah. Look at him. He looks like he's, you want some of this? Do you want some of this? Go back to the... Now see, life and the devil will try and make you think that the roles are reversed. It used to be that way. When we were dead in trespasses and sins, walking under the sway and influence of the prince of the power of this present darkness, the spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places, the prince of this world. He doesn't own the world. He usurped his position to have influence over this world. Adam surrendered it. Jesus took it back. And he's given it to us. This is why we're more than conquerors. One of the main reasons we are more than conquerors is because we did not have to go into the battle and fight to win it ourselves. Someone went and fought the battle for us and then came home and gave us the victory. More than a conqueror. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory. It's not all about outdoing conquerors. We have the conqueror of all conquerors. He went and conquered and then brought us the spoil, brought us the prize, if you will. And so, are you that? Or are you that? Did anybody see that dog when he was here? You know, it was an experience. It was one to, you will never forget that. And, you know, hindsight, I'm like, I'm glad it happened because I got to learn about a Rhodesian Ridgeback. At the time, it's like, what? Where are the greeters and the ushers? I want to meet with them because I want to know how this happened. Why? Because I didn't want anybody to get hurt. Because if anybody got hurt by that dog, we become responsible. And it's like, okay, who let him in? And then I found out about service dogs. So then I got to go and look up service dogs. Because I need to know if service dogs are allowed to come into the house of worship. Do we have to accommodate them? We can, but we don't have to. But now, hindsight, I'm looking because, I mean, his back was higher than the chairs. All I know is I looked and I saw this reddish-brown thing moving. And I'm like, man, what is that? And then after service, Brother Joshua said, yeah, he put his paws on my shoulders all the way up there. I'm telling you, I like you. I like you. Praise God. But in the realm of the spirit, this is you. And this is the devil. Now, nobody go home thinking that I hated on chihuahuas. You know, the Ridgeback was probably that size when he was born. Probably eats more than that for dinner or lunch or breakfast. Imagine him being afraid of that little thing there. And this is sometimes how we live our lives, in fear. Can I take you to the word? Isaiah chapter 14. Many of you probably remember this. This wasn't even planned, but nevertheless, it's in the plan and purpose of God. Let's get some offering baskets up here. And as the Spirit of God moves on you, not to go out the door, but to come and bring an offering and worship the Lord, then by all means, bring your offering. In this particular passage, we see something. We see Isaiah prophesying and speaking. And he speaks of a king, one in higher rankings, authority. But spiritually, he's speaking about the adversary, the devil. When you get to Isaiah chapter 14, say amen. I need those pictures up there. They can go to their Bibles and follow along or get next to someone who has a Bible. And if we can get a clip of them together one time, we'll be good. I'm asking for too much. Are you at Isaiah chapter 14? Father, bless the reading and hearing of thine holy and grafted word. Many of you know this passage and are familiar with it. Prophetically, in the natural, he's speaking about the king of Babylon, but spiritually, he's talking about Satan. We won't begin there for sake of time, but like beginning in verse 4, you can even go back to verse 1 and read on. But we're just going to come to this part in verse 14.
or verse 12, I'm sorry. Let me put these on. Verse 12, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? This is what lets us know who he's really talking about. Before Satan received the name Satan, which actually means adversary, before he was an adversary, an opponent of God, he was a praiser of God. Ezekiel describes him as one who was decorated, beautifully, and he had instruments within him. Imagine opening up his mouth and a Hammond B3 organ, coming forth, and all sorts of sounds of music coming out of him as he's leading the host of angels in worship of the Most High God. He was an angelic being, beautiful to behold. No other creature created as beautiful as he. But there was pride within him. And that pride was not a sudden surprise to God. And neither was it created in him to come against God. It was just something that was there. It's like the choice we have. When God created Adam and Eve and put them in the garden, he said, of every tree in the garden you can eat of, except for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which is in the midst, for the day that you eat of it, you shall die. He gave them that choice. What do you mean by that choice? Well, he told them, you can eat of every tree except for this one. So now you can eat of all of these trees and live, because there was also the tree of life that was in the garden too. It was the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil in the midst of the garden. And so, they could have eaten of all of the other trees and then partook of the tree of life, and we would have never had to deal with sin. But instead, they go after being deceived by Satan, Eve being deceived, then Adam willfully transgressing against God. They ate of the forbidden fruit. But the choice was theirs. Even after Eve was deceived, Adam still had a choice. He chose to go ahead and eat of that fruit. He just grabbed it and ate of it. So the scripture says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, this is Lucifer, this is the spirit of Lucifer, this is exposing Lucifer. Because this was in the king of Babylon, but where it originated from was Lucifer himself. You have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pits. When the disciples, remember, Luke chapter 10, when the disciples came back to Jesus, this was the second group. The first group, the original 12, if you will, they went out and they preached, taught, and healed in Jesus' name. And they came back and gave a report to Jesus of what happened. So then Jesus sends out the 70. And he releases them with power and authority. And he told them the same thing. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, cleanse the lepers. Freely you receive, freely you give. And they go out, and what Jesus says happens. They go, they lay hands on the sick recover. They cast out devils, the devils come out. They raise the dead come to life again. And they're just elated when they come back. Lord, even the devils are subject to us in your name. And Jesus says, I saw Satan fall like lightning. I believe Jesus is referencing this point here. How art thou fallen? How art thou cast down? How art thou brought down to the sides of the pit? He had a great position with God. We believe, as some teach, that there were three archangels that the Lord created. One was Michael, who's the warring angel. One was Gabriel, who's the messenger. And then one was Lucifer, who was the praiser. It's not doctrine in the sense that we make it such a doctrine that this is exactly what happened, if you will. It's just what we believe from what the scriptures reveal. Lucifer, one of the three, one of the main three, abandoned his place and took with him a third of the host of heaven. And so you have a one-third missing in their position as a praiser. You've got the warrior and Michael. You've got the messenger Gabriel, who also has power. But he's assigned to deliver the word of God. And that other vacancy was filled by you and I to come and take that place in that position of praise. This is why you never belittle praise. Praise and worship God will have. This is one of the reasons why he fights you so much, especially during the time of praise and worship. It was once his. He doesn't have it anymore. So what does he do? He entertains the world with all sorts of secular, destructive music, polluted, contaminated music, because music ministers. And so with the lyrics and with the music, it captures the attention of the people and draws them away from God, when his position was to draw everyone towards God in leading in worship. Read the book of Revelation. We're going to cast the 24 elders. They cast their crowns to the ground, crying out, "Holy!" The angels cry, "Holy, holy, holy." Thrice holy, because we serve a triune God. So Lucifer abandoned his position through pride. That was the number one problem with him, pride. He wanted to be like the Most High. He's right before God, seeing God receive the glory, looking at the angels, and he's the one that's coming up with the music as they're crying out and singing before the Master. And he's looking, and the scripture says about the city of the sides of the north. You'll notice the psalmist mentions the same thing about the city on the side of the north. Here they are worshiping. And Satan says, "I deserve that. That ought to be me." And he circulated it. He might have tried to hit all of the angels, and only a third bought into the lie. And all of a sudden, probably after the last one believed in Satan, they were cast out like lightning. Reserved in chains of darkness, they cannot come out of their realm, if you will, of darkness. They can't escape it. They are bound for all eternity. Someone gave that revelation during the conference. I forget who it was. He said, it might have been Pastor Ron Carpenter, I'm not sure. Because they sinned outside of time, this is why they are doomed for all eternity. That's a nice revelation. I have to search it out to make sure it's true. It's not that I doubt it, but it's definitely a good analogy. They sinned outside of time. They sinned in eternity, therefore they're doomed for eternity. We've sinned in time, and the Lord has redeemed us in time that we may have eternity. Amen? We don't get it right now, we're doomed forever. Now is the time. Now is the day of salvation. Don't put it off till next week. Don't even put off, "I'm going to give my heart to Jesus fully after I deal with these things." Give your heart fully to Jesus now. and let him deal with those things. Because if you had enough strength to deal with them, you would have dealt with them by now. Are you a Ridgeback, Rhodesian Ridgeback, or are you a Chihuahua? So, yeah. y'all good. Y'all are good. Yeah, okay. Let's go ahead and read the rest of the scripture. He says, I will be like the Most High, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee. Here's the thing. They shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee. Amplify says it. Those who will see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? All the kings of the nations, even all of them, lie in glory, everyone in his own house. But thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch, and as a raiment of those that are slain, thrust through with the sword, that go down to the stones of the pit, as a carcass trodden under feet. Thou shalt be joined with them in burial, because thou hast destroyed thy land and slain thy people. The seed of evildoers shall never be renowned. And so the key verse, one of the key verses in here, is when they see him for who he really is, and they say, is this the man that caused the nations to tremble, that made the world a wilderness? This is what you're going to do. When we're with Jesus, we're going to be like that. And we're going to see the adversary, and we're going to say, is this the one that wreaked all kind of havoc in my home? Is this the one that did damage to my children and grandchildren? Is this the one that made my life so miserable? Is this the one that caused me to be so mentally unbalanced and all messed up? Is this the one? It's that kind of a, is this the one? You understand me? You get the feel of that? Some of y'all need to go home and get some sleep. But do you see? It's like this little thing. Not this little. Is this the thing that made my life miserable? I let him do that to me. It's the one that kept me bound. Kept me all entangled up in myself. Is this the one who was riding me to continue in darkness? That thing. When I am that. In the realm of the spirit, I am that. Because the lion of the tribe of Judah is on the inside of me. Greater is he who is in me than he that is in the world. All of the power is with me. I got the word. I got the name. I got the power. I got the authority. I got the Holy Ghost, and I let this push me around. What's wrong with me? Am I going to let my little situations push me around? Does he look nervous? She? I think those are, I'm not sure. They look like female, but I don't know. No. We're confident. Anybody feel confident? Stand on your feet. We are bold. Anybody feel bold? Stand on your feet. We are victorious. Anybody feel victorious? Stand on your feet. We are more than conquerors. Anybody who feels more than a conqueror, stand on your feet. We are blessed. Anybody who feels blessed, stand on your feet. Come on, come on, come on, come on. We're not no little old chihuahua to be pushed around, if you will. No, we push the chihuahua around. We push that little imp around. Listen, James said it like this. He says, even the demons believe and tremble. We have to get so into God in our personal walk and relationship with him, and it is so vitally important that we do. Because if we don't, we're going to continue to be victims of this world. Because, see, if we don't press into God, the adversary will press towards us. And he will alienate us and cut us off and have us out there alone. Listen, he don't want to just kill you. There are some that he wants to kill. There are some that he wants to wipe off the face of this earth because they are too much of a threat to his kingdom. But some he just wants to make a spectacle of them. Use them as pawns, if you will. Make the name of Jesus seem like it's insignificant, no longer applicable. You know, those are days of old, or it's just a fairy tale, or, you know, he really didn't die and rise again on the third day, and, you know, all of this. He wants to try and make the name of Jesus insignificant, but we know better. We know better. So, the devil's not your boss. You have authority and power over him. So you tell that little chihuahua, get out of your life, get out of your mind. You tell that little chihuahua, no longer is he going to make your life a wilderness. You tell that little chihuahua, he is underneath your feet. You get that? Yeah. In Jesus' mighty name. Because I'm telling you, after great moves of God, we should not be coming back the next week or the next day or the next Wednesday talking about what you're going through. We ought to be talking about what you've overcome as a result of the word that you have heard. Amen? 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 Give the Lord a hand of praise. Bless his holy name. Bless his holy name. Bless his holy name. No, we don't have to keep preaching that same message, what you're going through, what you're dealing with. All you need is that image. How was your week? I felt like a chihuahua. I felt like the Ridgeback. Yeah, he does. Yeah, he does. He hunts lions. Been a long time probably since they've done that, but nevertheless, that's what they did. They hunt lions. Devil killers. Bless God. So, Father, we thank you right now for your sons and your daughters in this house. We thank you for the work that you're doing in this place, Threshing Floor Tabernacle, in the city of Antioch. We thank you, Father, that it spreads beyond the borders of our city, that it spreads even to other cities. We thank you, Master, that it spreads beyond the space of our homes into our neighborhoods, that it's spilling all over the place because we are all over the place. Father, in the name of Jesus, empower your people for service. We're not called to be served, but we are called to serve one another. And in our service, Lord, that you will be glorified. Father, it's time for multiplication. It's time for increase. It's time for maturity. It's time for the saints of God to take their place in this land. We take dominion over Antioch, California, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we declare that your kingdom is established in this city, and that because your kingdom is established in this city, no foe, no demonic principality shall be able to stand in our way.
Father, we speak peace to the homes. We speak salvation to the homes. We cover this city in the precious blood of Jesus. We cover the city officials. We cover the law enforcement. We cover the citizens. We cover the schools. We cover the businesses. We cover this city in the precious blood of Jesus, and that it spreads to the surrounding cities, every city that the saints of God that fellowship in this house live in. We plead and pray that same thing over those cities, that those cities will come under the rule and the spirit of Christ Jesus, that the gates of hell will not prevail in our land, and revival will take place, and revival will go forth in the name of Jesus. What you're doing in West Virginia and what you're doing in Kentucky, you will do in Antioch, Oakley, Brentwood, Pittsburgh, Bay Point, Concord, Martinez, Pleasant Hill, Lafayette, Walnut Creek, Orinda, Moraga, all over the Bay Area. Revival to this land. Revival to this land. Revival to this land. Oh, come. Let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us, and the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come to us as the rain, as the latter and the former rain upon the earth. So be it, Lord. So be it, Lord. So be it in every child of God's life in here. So be it in every family represented here. So be it in our children and our children's children, even to the third and fourth generation. So be it to the parents. So be it to the grandparents. So be it, Lord God, to the land. We promise to give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Has everyone given who's going to give? Thank you. Thank you for the reminder. Hallelujah. Stretch forth your hands. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, release our faith. Amen. Father, thank you for the privilege and opportunity of being able to give. Thank you for the blessing and favor. Lord, we stand in agreement with those who have not, the jobs have not manifested in the natural, but they have been done in the realm of the spirit. And we thank you for their jobs that are coming, the jobs that they're going to, the jobs that are coming their way. We thank you for the opportunities that they're having. We thank you, Lord God, for the salary that they're receiving. We thank you for the benefits that they're getting. We thank you, Lord God, that it's going to provide and exceed their needs so that they can be a blessing even to others, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. We pray that the windows of heaven remain open over us because we have tithers. We claim 100% tithers in this house, 100% tithers, seed sowers, because they're seeing the results. They're seeing the open heavens. They're seeing the perpetual harvest. They're seeing the goodness and the glory of God. Seed sowers, those who give love offerings, those who do benevolence, we thank you for their benevolent giving, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that we have more than enough, double for our trouble, overflow, that the blessing and the favor of the Lord just overtakes us. We stand in agreement for the jobs, for the raises, for the promotions. We stand in agreement, Lord God, for increase. We stand in agreement for increase to the sons and daughters of God in this house. We prophesy the blessing and the favor of the Lord over the saints of God in this house. That as David said, I have been young and now am old. I have never seen the righteous forsaken nor their seed begging for bread. We speak that over Threshing Floor Tabernacle, the young and the old. None of the righteous will be forsaken, neither will their seed be begging for bread in this house, that there is divine favor. We bind the hand of the evil one. Devil, you're a liar and the father of lies. We send you back to outer darkness. Your lies and your deceptions along with them. The blood of Jesus is against you, and we plead the blood over our lives.
We command you to loose what God has ordained to come into our hands and into our possessions. Loose it and let it go. In the name of Jesus. As we said last week, put it back, devil. Put it back, devil. Put it back, devil. You can't have it. You can't have our children. You can't have our grandchildren. You cannot have our families. You cannot have our parents. You cannot have grandparents. You cannot have our cities. You cannot have. You cannot have. In Jesus' name. And Father, we give you all the glory. Jesus, we give you all the honor and all the praise. Holy Ghost, we love you. Thank you. Thank you for being our helper, our intercessor, our advocate, our standby, our counselor, our teacher. Thank you for leading us into all truths and showing us things to come. Thank you. In Jesus' name, everybody who agrees said amen. Amen. All right, greet one another in the name of the Lord. It's good to see all of you tonight. Good to be back. Thank you for praying for us. And thank you.